Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning and welcome. Thanks for joining me. This is Speak Up. I'm Jesse. This is CJSF's regular, nearly daily, talk program. And I'm the Public Affairs Coordinator here at CJSF. And this program and all of our programming here at CJSF is produced on the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkamelam and Squamish speaking peoples, who have been here since time immemorial, working and playing and living and building lives and families and telling stories to each other for longer than anyone can remember. And I'm very grateful to be able to be here in the studio up here on Burnaby Mountain, a place that once was used by the indigenous inhabitants of what's now known as Burnaby Mountain, Greater Vancouver. And I'm very privileged to be here and try to hold that in my thoughts as I move forward with all the work that we do here at CJSF, and I hope that you will take that into consideration as you move through your world in these lands. Today on the program, a lot of different stuff. We've got a piece from Danny, our community reporter. We've got another piece from a local journalism initiative-funded reporter out of Courtney Comox, Nanaimo, C-H-L-Y. And we've got a couple, well, we'll see how many, interviews I did yesterday at the Red Dress Day Memorial event and installation here at SFU's Student Union Building, memorializing the missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit folks, of which there is an epidemic of the missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit folks. So we'll hear a little bit about that. And, you know, lots of other stuff. As usual, I am very excited. I'm always excited to be in studio and always happy to be able to hang out with you and share the things that I think are particularly interesting or worthy of notice or discussion. And I want to thank you for hanging out with me on Tuesday mornings as you do whatever it is that you're doing. I know that often the radio broadcast, for me anyway, and I think probably for you, is often sort of half background, right? It's either you're driving or you're doing something in the house and the radio's on. So I like to think of myself as, I like to think of myself as your companion, and hopefully you think of me the same way. I think of you as my companion as well here, because someone sitting in a room talking to themselves is, you know, it's not the usual thing. So I would appreciate, or I do appreciate, you being out there listening to what I'm saying and what I'm sharing. And so I guess thanks. Thanks for doing it. Keep doing it for as long as you'd like. And hopefully that's a while. Hopefully it's at least through the first music break of the show. As always, we're going to start with local music. And as has become the tradition for nearly a couple months now. Maybe the tradition will break soon, but I am still in love with the record Sports Car Era by Devours. So we're going to hear the title track, Sports Car Era. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Squeezed out of the city and priced out of existence.
Sports Car Era by Devours, the title track from the new record, which is great, which you know if you have been listening to this program with any regularity or consistency, because it's been playing a lot, top in the CJSF charts, not solely based on the strength of my plays, but I'm certainly doing my part. And so are you, by hanging out and listening, so I thank you for that. Up next, we are going to hear from community journalist Danny Nezvadarani. And Danny's contributions to CJSF, to the station, to this show, Speak Up, in particular, in its three weekly installments, have been really, really huge. And I can tell you right now that the quality of this program and the other episodes of Speak Up that air throughout the week has really jumped since October, when Danny came aboard. And I was also granted a few more hours to start contributing some stories. And it's been really good, and I'm really excited to be able to do that for you out there, to connect you to community in a way that we did not previously have the resources to do. So I'm just glad that we're able to do this, both for you out there to be able to have something to listen to, but it also helps the station in terms of providing more opportunities for people to get involved in this kind of programming, and for there to be examples of the work around for them to look to and draw from. Our election coverage that we managed to put together over the last month, with mayor interviews and interviews with candidates and interviews with experts on specific topics relating to the election, gave, I think, a great alternative, different viewpoint of what what to look at during the election. And the LJI, the Local Journalism Initiative, has provided some support that made that possible. So I want to thank them, but also thank you, because without you listening, the journalism wouldn't be going anywhere. And also, the fact that you listen is the reason we have a radio station, and is the reason that we're able to get grants through government programs. Thanks for listening. And now let's get into some of the work. Let's hear the latest piece from Danny. This is an interview with Kirsten Takashiba of the North Shore Black Bear Society.
Reporting from North Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. It is the time of year in the Lower Mainland where bears are now emerging from their dens, appearing more often in our daily lives. This is commonplace within the spring and summer months, but according to the North Shore Black Bear Society, some of these reported appearances have been of bears with visible sustained injuries. The North Shore Black Bear Society is a non-profit organization based in North Vancouver, BC, that works in partnership with local and regional governments involved with black bears, educating the public on bear attractant issues, as well as how we can more safely and responsibly coexist with these animals. With these recent reports of injured black bears on the North Shore, CJSF reached out to Kirsten Takashiba, program coordinator of the North Shore Black Bear Society, to learn more about these reports and how people living in more heavily forested areas can remain more bear aware during the spring and summer months.
Yeah, so some of the injured bears that we've seen look worse than what they actually are. In the fall and also the spring, there can be vehicle strikes because the bears are more likely to be out daytime, nighttime. In the fall, they're going through their hyperphagia time where they're eating 20,000 calories a day, and so they are seen out and about. If there is injury, if there is a vehicle strike, which is usually the cause of injury with our urban bears, then they're incredibly resilient, so they can often heal from terrible injuries, and often when it's close to dinning time, that's the time where they can really heal when they're resting. And then when they come out of dinning, often we can still see these bears limping, but they're no longer in pain, but it could be because they had a broken leg, paw, hip, whatever that injury might have been. So we might see something that looks worse than it actually is. They're still able to forage, they're still able to find food, all of those good things. In the spring, this is the time where bears are, their first foods are usually grass, just to get their whole digestive systems going again. So they're often at the side of the road, which means there's a more likely chance of there being a vehicle strike with them.
We then discussed what people should be doing during this time of year when bear sightings are much more common, in order to decrease the likelihood of these injuries occurring.
Yeah, so when it comes to driving, absolutely, just being aware of your speed limit, following those speed rules. If there's some bear wildlife signs on the side of the road, then make sure that you're slowing down at those spots, because they are high-risk areas for a reason. Making sure that you are looking for eyeballs, shining eyeballs at nighttime at the side of the roads, and making sure that you're slowing down. And also in terms of attractants, this is a time to do your spring cleaning and make sure that your bins are clean. We usually suggest washing out with vinegar and water solution, scrubbing them out, and then using a pine sol, pine scented cleaner, like the original scent pine sol. And bears often don't like the smell of pine, so this can be helpful, but it's also really important to make sure that your attractants are either really well secured or they don't go into your bins until collection day. Making sure that garbage is really well sorted. If it's a problem, we often recommend freezing compost, food waste, and putting those out on collection day, and that can keep a really clean bin as well, odor-free. Yeah.
Lastly, Takeshiba goes over some other common attractants to be aware of in order to reduce the risk of bear encounters.
Yeah, definitely there's other attractants in our yards other than just food, food waste, or garbage. Bird feeders are a huge one. Bears can get lots and lots of calories from our bird feeders, and so it's really important that spring, summer, fall, you take down hummingbird feeders and seed bird feeders, suet bird feeders. Because that's just another attractant. Outdoor freezers, outdoor fridges are a huge attractant. Dirty barbecues, not feeding pets outside, making sure they're fed inside. No foods. Fruit trees are an issue starting in the summer, so really making sure that fruit is managed or to prune that tree or take that tree down.
Once again, that was Kirsten Takeshiba, the program coordinator for the North Shore Black Bear Society, speaking on how residents of the Lower Mainland can more responsibly coexist with bear populations, resulting in less risk of vehicle-related bear injuries. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Every time you tune into CJSF, you make a choice to step outside of the box of what's normal and support an alternative. Alternatives are critical for making change, which we need so, so badly. I'm Leslie, host of Typically Tuesdays, on Mondays at 3 p.m., and I see you contributing to social change in your small and profound ways simply by tuning into us. Thanks for being on our team.
Yes, thank you, and welcome back to CJSF at 90.1 FM or online at cjsf.ca. You just heard from Leslie, host of Typically Tuesdays, which does air, the original airing is on Mondays, perhaps confusingly, but then we'll also replay this afternoon on Tuesday. And Leslie's got a great episode this week, so I recommend tuning in and just keep it tuned to CJSF all day. And we'll keep telling you how great you are and how much we appreciate you listening, because we do. And the radio station and the opportunity to be on the radio and the opportunity to spend time with you and share my thoughts with you and share, as I said before, all the things that I find interesting or discussion worthy has been a huge part of my life, and I really would not be where I am without radio and without the audience out there, you, listening and making it possible. So, once again, thank you. And, let's just keep it rolling. We're going to go with another story out of the Local Journalism Initiative, as I said, from Heather Watson at CHLY. This is a story about an art student exploring gender dysphoria through Barbie's form.
This is a CHLY and CVOX news update. The annual student art exhibition at North Island College in Comox Valley has wrapped up, and CHLY and CVOX met at the studio with one student to hear their experience of exhibiting their own work, a series titled They. Nim Patterson is a multimedia artist who has explored mediums such as drawing and photography in the past, and through a recent sculpture assignment, fell in love with manipulating porcelain casts of one iconic form.
With this process, which I've absolutely fallen in love with, I pour liquid into plaster molds that I've submerged the Barbie parts into, and then the slip cast liquid porcelain hardens. And when I open up the mold, I'm given the perfect imprint of whatever I cast in plaster. And so then I'm able to take out all of the limbs individually and fuse them together and reassemble Barbie in whatever way that I kind of desire. And not a lot of people sculpt with porcelain, so being able to kind of explore it in my own way and find new ways of using the material has been very satisfying.
The work is a vast exploration of gender identity, capturing over 100 moments of Patterson's own experience. It all began with an assignment to make multiples cast from a mold, but Patterson wasn't interested in perfectly replicated forms. They were inspired by a past student's work who manipulated and deflated the form of a rubber duck, but it took them weeks to settle on what form they wanted to recreate and disrupt.
And then it like kind of finally came to me where I was like, if there were one thing that I would want to like make a cast of and then recreate and remake, it would be my own body. And the idea of like recreating myself and like recasting my own form really led to using Barbie as my subject, because she's not only, you know, a female figure that I would be able to cast and replicate, but it also symbolically really represents like how we're taught as children what we're supposed to be like when we grow up. And I just felt like that was a really powerful way to express my own gender dysphoria and just like the non-binary and trans experience.
The work itself is the display of more than 100 porcelain figures that have been cast from the form of a Barbie, then warped, cut, and altered to represent what Patterson felt in their body in the moment they were creating. Patterson himself added a performative element to the piece, steadily continuing to craft at their station while in drag throughout the span of the exhibition.
So the performance element really kind of came from like the last time I had the critique during the semester, and my professor had been like, you making it is the piece, and just like made that as a comment, and I was like, no, this is real, like that's exactly how it is.
Patterson explained that without the performance, people may see the forms as simply Barbie dolls, and that the artist being present, creating and reassembling forms while dressed in drag honors the concept of the project and draws the viewers to notice the significance of both gender and the queer experience that is expressed by the work. Something the artist found remarkable about being present throughout the exhibition was witnessing their audience experiencing and relating to their work.
It was really powerful. I found that everyone saw a very specific Barbie that they honed in on and they resonated with like the most, which was really surprising, the versatility in that. I thought that maybe there would be one or two that were like specific favorites, but no, everyone came in and they would just point to like one I would not have expected at all. And they were like, that is me, like that is it, like I am this. So like, I never would have expected just like how diverse the relation that people were having to the project and that different connection that they would create.
Patterson also felt that the piece acted as an entry point for members of the general public who may not understand queerness, that when viewers realized the project embodied experiences of gender dysphoria and trauma, they took the time to observe the piece and ponder what it meant.
And I felt like that was really special because we don't often get that experience where people can just quietly process like that in front of you. So that was powerful.
Patterson said that their initial goals for the project were to create 50 Barbies, but they very quickly surpassed that and are now at 153 and counting. The project is ongoing and their new goal is 1,000, a feat they plan to achieve by buying a kiln and setting up a home studio if they need to. Their next semester will be focused on meeting academic requirements for the fine arts diploma, and Patterson jokes that they will be making Barbies between essays to stay sane. After that, they will likely continue towards a master's degree. As far as where the project will go next, that path is unclear.
Never been much of a planner. I'm just doing it because I love it. And if they end up being somewhere that's not just in my bedroom, piled up on every shelf that I can possibly get in there, then that would be really lovely. Having them in some sort of like gallery or exhibition would be incredible. Purely because the more people who resonate with this project and who can see like a sliver of themselves in it just like brings me so much joy, and I just feel like we need more of that in the world right now.
More information about the North Island College Fine Arts Diploma is available online at nic.bc.ca. Nim Patterson's work can be found on Instagram at Nim Patterson Art. For CHLY and CVOX News, this is Heather Watson.
This report, in partnership with CVOX, was made possible with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs program, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Too Close to the Sun by The Houseplants here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. Thanks for being here. As usual, my reliable companion out there. Happy to be able to make radio for you and with you, because this is, you're part of this. It's a conversation. It's a two-way street. I might do most of the talking most of the time, but you're listening. And you might not be talking back to me verbally, but I'm sure you're responding in your mind. I do that when I listen to podcasts or the radio sometimes. And that's part of the magic, is just that relationship. And so I thank you sincerely for your part in that and for agreeing to just come hang out for as long as you do, whether you're just, you know, scanning through the radio stations, stuck in traffic, looking for something interesting to chew on, or just a nice tune to